Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi folks, I'm Dr. Rob Zammit. Welcome back to the Doggy Pod.
Yes, welcome back. I'm Dr. Rob's producer, Stephen Peters, and thank you so much for tuning in and listening.
Yeah, now, is your dog a fussy eater, or is it all of a sudden a bit off its food? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why is it off its food? Something we're going to talk about, and how do you get them back onto their food if it's just, don't want to eat this week.
Happens quite a lot. Also, last week, or last episode, you might remember we talked about sleeping positions in your dog, and we had a pretty good response to that, as we always do about dogs and sleeping for some reason. But this time we're also going to talk about sleep disorders in dogs. Is there such a thing as a sleep
disorder?
When
we talked about sleep last episode, we talked about the cuddle dog that likes to cuddle. So do dogs cuddle? Do all dogs like to cuddle?
Some dogs just don't like a cuddle.
Surprising, isn't it?
And we'll also just have another little chat about the Doggy Pod puppy, which is just getting closer and closer.
Coming, anyway. I can't wait.
So firstly, is your dog off its food? It happens occasionally. I mean, most dogs just eat like nobody's business. But some dogs just get off their food and just, does that mean there's something wrong? And is that a reason to rush off to the vet? Or are there some things you can do to just get your dog back on its food?
Well, one of the things I always say, when you get your new puppy, which the Doggy Pod is going to get soon, do train it to eat when it's told to eat, or, you know, when you put the food down. Dogs aren't grazers. Like, a cat is a grazer. Mm. They'll just pick at food and leave the dry food out. They'll pick at it. Dogs don't do that. So it's really, really important to make sure that with your dog, you are not allowing it to just graze all the time, because they'll get overweight.
Yeah.
And I have a 10 to 15 minute rule. I put the food down. What they don't eat in 10 to 15 minutes goes into the bin. That's it. Fresh meal next time. Now, if I'm feeding a puppy and I'm feeding it three times a day initially, it's still the same rule. I don't keep that food for next meal because it attracts bacteria and makes the puppy sick. So they're trained to. There's your food, eat up. You don't want to eat, boom, out it goes. Mm.
But what if your dog just kind of turns up and
yeah, if
just
it keeps doing it all the time,
much.
Then you need to have a think about this one. Is the dog sick? Does your dog have, and some of the signs that you've got to look for, the whites of the eye, are they white? You know, it's a sign of illness when the white of the eye isn't white, especially if it's yellow. Have a look at that. Have a look at the colour of the gums. Lift the lip. And again, you should be doing this all the time with your dog, learning and letting your dog know that you can do this without hurting it, without any injury. You could just lift the lip, put it down, and give it something to eat if you want to, or give it a pat or praise.
So what should you be looking for?
Pink gums. A nice pink gum. Mm. Not injected red or, you know, very angry looking, but just a nice healthy pink. The other thing you should be able to do is press your finger onto the gum. When you lift your finger away quickly, you'll see it's a white spot, just like it would be if it was on your skin. But that white spot should go pink again within 1 to 2 seconds.
Right.
If it's slower than that, your dog's not well. Blood pressure's down.
Uh-huh.
Is its tummy sore? You know, every few days, have a little feel of your dog's tummy. Nothing, don't press hard. Just have a feel. It should be nice and supple.
Mm.
If all of a sudden it's hard and the dog resists, there's something going on in the tummy. So these are the things you look for. The coat, is it nice and shiny? Hydration levels. If the gums are sticky, it's dehydrated. If you pull the skin at the back of the neck up just gently and let it go, it should spring back. If it doesn't spring back, your dog's dehydrated. And then, of course, the obvious signs. Is there diarrhea? Is there, you know, when you're picking up the poo in the backyard, and you should be doing that regularly every day, are the droppings around? If there's no droppings, your dog's constipated, that's bad. Let's assume everything's fine. Your dog's healthy, just a bit off its food. The first thing I would do is nothing. Actively do nothing.
Right.
Don't get all worried about, oh, my gosh.
So it could pass.
Yeah, let's wait and see. Let's just wait and see. In actual fact, we have our dogs, all our dogs, including mine, a bit heavier than they should be, a bit heavier than Mother Nature wants them to be. The dogs that live the longest are the dogs you can easily feel the ribs, and you can even see the last two ribs on a short-coated dog. You can't in a long-coated dog, but a short-coated dog, it's easy to just see almost those last two ribs. That's what Mother Nature wants. Those dogs will live longer with less veterinary intervention, and they're much happier with less arthritis and all the other problems. So they get too worried if they miss one meal or maybe even two. If you want to do something about it, sure, you can. I mean, one of our standard things that we do both at the veterinary hospital and here at home, if the dog's a bit off its food, I always get a barbecued chicken and give them some barbecued chicken. The dog that refuses barbecued chicken is really a very sick dog, probably.
Right. So if it won't eat barbecued chicken, go to the vet.
Get to the vet. And no cooked bones. No,
of course.
No,
of course.
Off that butt. You're just giving the...
All doggy pod listeners know that.
Oh, absolutely. No cooked bones and no chicken bones. Yes. So just some cooked chicken, and if you like, and see if the dog will eat that. If you want to, you can just use its standard food and make up a little bit of warm gravy and put that on, even chicken gravy or something like that, see if that helps the dog eat. And then, of course, there are things like grated cheese that can induce it. If your dog really is refusing all the time, your vet might want to check the tonsils, because dogs get tonsillitis, just like we do. And it'll be treated with anti-inflammatories, with antibiotics, and sometimes even tonsillectomy. And so, yes, after a tonsillectomy, we like ice cream.
So a dog will actually have its tonsils taken out?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's not common. Like, it is not common anymore in humans either. But sometimes dogs have persistently inflamed tonsils. You look down there, they're up and big again, they're up and big again. The dog's off his food, off his food. Sometimes they're a bit pussy because they get really bad infections in there. Time to remove them. And the difference it makes to those dogs is just amazing, Stephen. Yeah. Make sure the dog's not sick. Generally speaking, the other thing I do is actually with some of the dogs that, and I've had fussy eaters like everybody else, we have a fussy eater here. So what I do with him is a little bit of an obedience exercise. So it's sit, stay, I put the food down, no, stay, and I hold, and he's not good. He has no intention to move at first.
Mm.
And I go, good dog, eat your food. And, oh, okay, I've done the exercise, I deserve a reward, and they start eating. And you make it an obedience exercise, a bit of fun for them, then they do. You can change a fussy eater's eating habits by doing just that.
Well, now, here's a quick story I just thought of too, that Dr. Rob helped me out the other day when my dog stupidly ate a whole bunch of plastic stuff. Don't ask me why. Well, she's getting on a bit, and Dr. Rob thinks it might be a little bit of dementia settling in, unfortunately.
Mm.
But she did eat a whole bunch of plastic in one hit, and so I was thinking, oh God, what do you do about that? And Dr. Rob, what was your advice? And it worked a treat.
Yep, we didn't panic. We thought, okay, as long as she's chewed up, if she goes off of food, we will have her into hospital for x-rays and possible surgery.
Mm.
Otherwise, we just gave her some brown rice, mixed with a bit of meat, because they're not going to eat brown rice on its own, so a bit of cooked meat or even
raw
meat.
Tiny little bit.
And some oil. And the brown rice isn't easily digested. It's not easily digested by dogs. And so it pushes everything through, pushes it all along, and it comes out the back end.
So Molly did that for 2 days, and then she was right as rain.
Yeah, brown rice, a bit of oil, bit of meat, and phoom, out it comes.
And we're still finding bits of plastic all around the backyard in those poos. But anyway, yes, thanks for that, Rob. Okie dokie. We always get a good response about things to do with dogs and sleeping for some reason.
Yeah, people, wake up.
Yes, maybe that's it. Maybe the doggy pod puts people and their dogs to sleep. But anyway, I just wanted to have a quick chat about sleeping disorders in dogs. Do dogs have the same sort of issues that humans have, like insomnia and sleep apnea and that kind of stuff? Is there a canine equivalent, or do they have exactly the same thing?
Well, to some extent there is. There's a disease called narcolepsy. It happens in people. In fact, one of my friends, good friends, had it, and he used to fall asleep. They couldn't work out why. His wife couldn't work out why until they went to the doctors and was finally diagnosed. Narcolepsy is a form of epilepsy.
Right.
And you just literally fall asleep.
But dogs sleep all the time, so how would you know?
Well, in some of these dogs just collapse. You know, they're just standing there 1 minute and boom, down they go. And it's a real dysfunction of things, and it causes a lot of other problems. These sort of dogs, you know, they usually have normal thyroid levels, but they're obese. They pick up a lot of infections because their immune system is not good, and they're very inactive. They're really lethargic. You know, all the blood tests are okay, but everything else. And it's a bit of a genetic disorder in some Dobermans. It's been seen, a few poodles. And even occasionally in Labrador, they literally just fall asleep. My friend used to fall asleep at the steering wheel. Usually, the good news was, at a red light. You know, he'd stop, the car would be stopped.
Really? Can you let me know next time he's out in the road?
I had to keep waking him up at red lights until he went to the doctors and found out he had narcolepsy. And so it had to be treated. It was treated with various drugs that they use for epilepsy. But it's really difficult because they don't have good REM sleep, people that have narcolepsy. So they had to, when he was asleep, make sure he was having good quality sleep. Same with dogs.
Yeah.
So you've got to make sure that there's no abrupt wakening up things that happen. Try and keep them in a nice, quiet, deep sleep when they're supposed to be asleep and get them up when they're not. It's not an easy thing. It's not usually life-threatening or painful, but it really... It needs a very difficult diagnosis to make. And very often what we rely on as veterinarians is good history from people. So make sure you're writing down when your dog's asleep all the time. And it's not really curable, but it's more managed than anything else. And it's more difficult than, say, grand mal seizures, that type of epilepsy. It's a bit more difficult to medicate. But, yeah, it can be done. The other form of
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sleep problems, which it's more common in old dogs that get dementia, is insomnia. Often reported, my dog's all of a sudden taken to
walking around all the time.
And for me, it's an easy one. I don't know why people don't embrace it. good old-fashioned valerian, which is just a root. It's a natural supplement. You can buy it over the counter. You buy don't buy valerian root. Buy valerian tablets or capsules and get the strong ones, valerian fort, even for little dogs.
And how much would you give your dog, though?
Yeah, one for a little dog or two for a big, two tablet. Or three. Yeah, and last thing at night, and it seems to relax them. And people that have had dogs, I could see him, he's having dementia, he's really having issues, say to me, once they're on the valerian at night, a lot of the other symptoms during the day are resolved. So they're much better for a lot longer. They're getting a good night's sleep, they're waking up, and they're dealing with life a lot easier. So, yes, for me, valerian for insomnia is ideal. Usually not in young dogs. I don't usually see insomnia in young dogs.
Mm.
I see it more in older dogs as part of dementia.
Yeah,
I'm sure it could occur in a young dog, and I probably would try the same treatment. If your dog's always awake at night, try and calm it down with a bit of valerian. It doesn't hurt at all. And, of course, sleep apnea. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think anybody who's got a dog knows what that sound is, surely.
Yeah, usually it's us and we blame it on the dog. But certain breeds, of course, have this real snoring and sleep apnea. The breeds that are called brachycephalic, where the faces are shortened.
Like Albert, your dog, Albert. Yeah,
but he sleeps in bed with me. He doesn't have sleep apnea. He's not too exaggerated. And it's a matter of the breeders addressing it as well. In Australia, in England, they've got a brachycephalic monitoring system now where a dog goes through a test to see how bad it is before it is bred. If it's really bad sleep apnea or really bad brachycephalic airway syndrome, it's recommended they don't breed with them. And that scheme is really going to kick off well in Australia. It's doing really well in England. I think it'll go. It's also in America now as well in certain breeds. And funnily enough, this airway syndrome occurs in a breed some breeds that are not brachycephalic. They're not squashed in, but they still have the snoring and the...
Well, but humans, snore and they don't have pushed-in snouts. That's more the throat, isn't it, with a human?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. If you look at a greyhound, right, a long face, and look at, say, a bulldog, those two breeds have the exact same bones inside their skull, one squashed up. So all the soft tissues get squashed up, and that's when you can run into trouble, when it's over-exaggerated and it's hanging down too much and they're snoring a lot, or they have pinched noses. Yeah, the nose is pinched in, the nostrils are pinched in, and they have to be widened as well.
That music's very relaxing. I'm feeling quite dozy.
Well, if you go to sleep, don't wake up really angry and fast.
Okay, actually, there was one other sleep.
That was it. They wake up angry and fast.
Who does?
REM disorder dogs and people too.
REM, so REM, rapid eye movement.
That's REM, that's right.
So if you...
And rapid eye movement is a natural part of sleep for both dogs and people.
Mm.
And if you don't have it, you don't have good quality sleep.
Yeah, true.
But some people, my brother was like that. He used to wake up in the middle of his REMs, very aggressive. And
because he's come hard out of a dream.
Yeah, very fast. And dogs do it too. They can. It's funny because we mentioned this REM disorder many, many weeks ago, a few months ago, on the Doggy Pod. And not long after that, I had a dog with it.
What is it? How do you know?
They jump up and bark, or they jump up and run, and they'll run into things. They'll run into... the wall or the cupboard.
They'll literally go from sleeping to bang.
And some of them, I've heard, this dog didn't, but they wake up and they start trying to attack things and bite things.
Right.
And it's a real REM disorder. Very treatable, thankfully.
Hmm.
In the dog I saw, I treated him with good old valerian again. Let's start with the simple stuff first. And that dog sleeps like a baby now. But you can use anti-epileptic drugs because it's thought to be that type of behavioural issue. You can try behavioural drugs.
But you'd want to talk to your vet first.
You won't be able to get these drugs without talking, other than valerian. But you'd want to still talk to your vet even before you try valerian, because he or she might suggest something better, or there may be something else wrong, like a brain tumour or something terrible for your dog. So it's a matter of doing a little bit of investigation before it's diagnosed fully. But once it's diagnosed, the treatment's usually pretty successful with REM disorder sleeps.
Now, depending on what sort of dog you've got, some dogs love a cuddle. And I think most dog owners love a cuddle as well with their dog. But some dogs just don't get it. They're just not interested.
Yep.
Very standoffish.
Yep. Yep.
How do you, what is there anything you can do?
What's going on
to make
there?
Your dog want to give you a cuddle? Like just wear a little a meat necklace or something like
oh,
that?
Oh, now but, you're giving it. Good, yeah, yes. Often the dog doesn't want to cuddle you because of what you're wearing. And I'm not talking about your clothes. I'm talking about your smell. Yeah, you know, when we don't smell the best to dogs, and if we throw in a whole lot of alcohol type
aftershave,
aftershaves, and those sort of things, yeah, dogs don't like it, and so they really don't want to be near you. Cuddling in dogs it's in their DNA through domestication. We've selected mostly for genes. So some breeds, of course, no, they don't want to cuddle. They're more primitive type breeds, just don't want to know about. Like the Basenji, for example. Not a cuddly dog at all. African breed. And they're very primitive, a bit like our dingoes. They're not into cuddling so much. Then you get other dogs that just love a cuddle. Yeah, and but remember, you know, don't go cuddling every dog because not you know, strange dogs don't want you cuddling them. It's part of their DNA, it's part of domestication to want to cuddle their owners and only their owners.
But how do you get your dog to want to cuddle you more?
Simple thing would be to make sure that you are, you know, for a start, are you prepared to sit on the ground with your dog? Because maybe he'll like it on the lounge, maybe he won't, but he always likes it on the floor. So you just get yourself a beanbag, oh yes, back to the 70s, folks, and sit down there with a beanbag and your dog and patting it, and that does it. The dog that likes a cuddle is saying to you, I feel secure. I am very happy with you. It's part of the pack. Pack instinct is to cuddle together. You know, the pack comes in together. The dominant dogs tend not to want to cuddle because they're out there searching or hunting or they're on post, on making sure that there's no threat to the pack, that sort of thing. But a lot of the packs, if you watch them, they'll get together and they'll all lay down together. You know, equally, if someone's laying on the wrong part of a dog, the dog will try and bite. So be careful. Make sure your dog is comfortable in that cuddling position. Learn to pat the dog in the areas it likes, usually between the front legs and very often just up towards the chest a bit. They love that. Just under the neck. And you know, one place between the eyes. Just very gently pat between the eyes, just with one finger. Dogs like that. It's an area they can scratch easily, but they enjoy just being rubbed gently between their eyes, behind the ears, all these places. If you want your dog to cuddle, you've got to give. You've got to give. I mean, some dogs just want to cuddle and that's it. They just jump up. Like Opie, my old English sheepdog, just jumps on me anytime. But otherwise, once you do all those things, then they will sit there very quietly with you and enjoy that cuddle and give you a lot of love back. Most dogs do. But I say some of the primitive breeds and some of the dominant breeds, things like Japanese Akitas, not such a cuddly breed. Dobermans, not such a cuddly breed. German Shepherds, some do, some love it and some don't. But most of them actually do love a good cuddle. So it just depends on the breed. Read your dog's body language. You know, have a look. Are the whites of his eyes showing? He's probably not happy. Or is he just relaxed? His eyes movement just relaxed with you while you're cuddling him? Is he cuddling into you, coming back into you? Is he just trying to pull away and stretch away a little bit? You think, is he stretching away from me all the time? Probably doesn't want the cuddle. I just leave him alone.
How could you pass up a cuddle with Dr. Rob?
None of my dogs do, thank God.
All right, everybody, just a little reminder that it's now just that little bit closer to conception time, which is, you know, if you heard last episode, the doggy pod is about to have a doggy pod puppy. And that conception of that for that puppy, if that's the right way of putting it, is...
It is.
It's not far away, is it?
Well, we're just waiting to hear when the boy and the girl will get together. They said that she's looking playful at home, and she's getting a little bit more swollen in the vagina and the vulva, because dogs don't mate just when, you know, all the time. They only mate when they're not just in season, but in season and during their fertile period of that season. So things could be happening. They'll know that she's in season when they see little bits of blood around the vagina that tells them,
yep,
season started.
Right.
And then it's usually around 10 to 14 days after the start of the season that she'll be ready to go.
Okay, so stand by, Doggy Pod listeners, because as you may remember, it's a bit of a ruckus happening.
They're excited about the new puppy.
Just the mere talk about puppies is sent, you could probably hear all of them.
Sending
them out. Oh, my Lord. What is going on out there? Anyway, Dr. Rob might need to rush off for an emergency by the sound of it. As you know, yes, we're going to have our very own Doggy Pod puppy that we will follow from birth right through to whenever. So that's just, it's imminent, and we won't tell you what the breed is just yet. And one lucky Doggy Pod listener will get to name the dog as well when the time comes. But thank you so much for listening. Once again, Instagram and Facebook, the Doggy Pod, follow us there. There's all sorts of other stuff. Dr. Rob likes to post weird and wonderful things from time to time. And we'll see you next time
on the Doggy Pod.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.